I will call this Joint Committee on Emergency Preparedness and Ocean Policy to order on May the 8th, 2007. And I'd like to welcome everybody here this afternoon. I know you'd much rather be out in the sunshine, so would I, but here we are. So we're going to go through a very interesting agenda this afternoon. Committee, we will start off with the work session on Senate Bill 1003, and Jim, I'll have you give us a little background and why this has moved to this date.
Yes, ma'am. We last heard Senate Bill 1003 on 5-3 with the amendment. It now has a fiscal. I requested that the committee hold off action until I could check with the Senate President's office to ensure that we could, in fact, send this to Ways and Means. And I also received a fiscal impact statement from Ken Murphy, which is attached to your staff measure summary. So the motion, if you so choose, would be to refer this bill to Ways and Means, and we have already adopted the -2 amendments.
All right. Would you like to tell us what the bill does, just to refresh everybody's memory?
It directs the Office of Emergency Management to appoint regional search and rescue coordinators after consulting with the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, adopt rules, and appropriates funds from the general fund for the regional coordinators. The fiscal for 2007-2009 is slightly over $1 million.
I will open a work session on Senate Bill 1003. Is there a motion?
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1003 to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Chair Boone moves Senate Bill 1003 to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass as amended recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Representative Krieger.
Just to make a comment, we continue to spend general fund dollars, and this is a good place to spend them, and I'll vote with you, but we got to be careful. We don't continue to work towards the end of the session spending general fund. We get to the end, we don't have enough money for other things that are needed.
Good comments. Any other discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Larry
Doerr?
Aye. Senator
Johnson?
Aye.
Senator
Richards?
Aye.
Senator
Morrison?
Aye.
Senator
Cowan? Aye. Senator Gary Doerr? Aye. Senator Nelson? Co-Chair Boone? Aye. Co-Chair Berger? Aye. All right. Motion passes. I will close the work session on Senate Bill 1003. All right. Next, I will open a public hearing on House Bill 2814. Jim, while he's bringing up that, if you'll tell us about 2814.
Yes, ma'am. House Bill 2814 appropriates money from the general fund to the Department of Human Services for purchase of influenza or antiviral drugs, declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2007. The bill has a -1 amendment, which is attached to the staff measure summary, and it has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you, Jim. You'll remember we heard this this bill, and Representative Boquist is not going to be able to be with us this afternoon, and so I will call Dr. Susan Allen.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Dr. Susan Allen, State Public Health Director, and I'm here to present a very brief statement on the bill as amended and be available for any questions you might have. We worked with Representative Boquist in the interim to propose some amended language, which he then worked through Legislative Council. The proposal that we made would have broadened the scope of how the funds could be used, including to be used for current emergencies and for some other support activities around training and response. With the narrowness of the relating clause, apparently that was not included in the draft as it currently stands. So we are officially neutral on the bill, but would like to express some concerns as well as acknowledge and appreciation for Representative Boquist's continued acknowledgement that we are short of funds and that there does need to be, we believe, more attention to public health emergency preparedness. We're not convinced that the particulars in this bill take us down the best or optimum road where we might really enhance the preparedness of the state for emergencies. The particular concerns are two, as amended, and again, we appreciated the effort and we'll be glad to continue to work with Representative Boquist to see if there's some other route. As it stands, it still provides a focus on pandemic really pretty much exclusively, which is a hypothetical and future event rather than the current events. Emergency preparedness for a large event is actually best accomplished by strengthening your ability to practice or to address smaller emergencies here and now. And we know that we have smaller emergencies here and now that our health departments and other emergency responders are struggling to address. This would not give us this ability to support those activities. Also, the focus on antivirals and medications, the concern that these would go into a closet or on a shelf and probably never be used remains a big concern as not being the best way to use state funds or the best place to target emergency preparedness. And with respect to personal protective equipment, undoubtedly there are some agencies in the state that are still struggling with that. That is an area where federal funding in the last 5 years has allowed us to target more than in some other areas. Between the Homeland Security money and also public health and hospital funding that came through Health and Human Services at the federal level, a significant volume of supplies, personal protective equipment and such have actually been purchased. And so that is not our primary need. I've had some agencies tell me that right now they have more stuff than they have staff to put it on. And I think that is in fact correct, that for the most part our most pressing needs would be around training, the support for responding to current emergencies, and enhanced staffing, especially in public health and some of the EMS sectors. The last hearing we had, Representative Boquist raised the point that public health had submitted two policy option packages which address some of the concerns that he has been raising as well. $5 million, which would increase state and especially local public health staffing and capacity to protect people, and $2 million proposal for EMS trauma system. Neither of those made it into the co-chair's budget. They were in the governor's recommended budget. The conditions and the direction that those went were the ones we thought would be the most value for the citizens of this state and for those agencies and emergency responders who are struggling to do what is right. That concludes my remarks.
Dr. Allen, I think that you have some policy concerns, so I would not want to move the bill to Ways and Means because that's not the appropriate place to discuss the policy. And Representative Boquist could not be here this afternoon. And so I'm going to close the public hearing on 2814. Committee, I'm going to ask that we suspend the rules and allow Representative Nelson to vote on Senate Bill 1003. Any objections? Seeing no objections.
I vote aye.
Oh, she was there. That's right.
Were you not here either?
No, I was here, Madam Chair.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Excuse me.
It's usually the opposite. Thank you. I vote aye.
Representative Nelson votes aye.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. All right. I will now open a public hearing on Senate Bill 136.
Yes, ma'am. Senate Bill 136 establishes the Oregon Wireless Interoperability Network Department, transfer state interoperability executive council, and duties, functions, and powers related to council from the Office of Emergency Management to department. Establishes Executive Committee of Council to direct activities of department, declares an emergency effective on passage. Attached to the staff measure summary are dash ones and dash twos. The dash one, the sponsor of that will not be pursuing it, so the committee has afforded a dash two. This has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you very much. I'll call Lindsey Ball and Mike Zanin. Welcome, gentlemen. You'll introduce yourselves for the record.
Chair Berger, members of the committee, my name is Lindsay Ball. I'm the director of the Oregon Department of Administrative Services. And on this project, specific to Senate Bill 136, I've been asked by the governor to be the oversight administrator of the project.
Madam Chair, before Director Ball starts his testimony, I just want to ask a question structurally.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Ball. You just identified yourself as the oversight. I'm going to say the words that you used again. You've been asked by the governor to be the...
Oversight administrator?
Oversight administrator. And I'm trying to understand if this becomes a separate agency at some point in time, how that's going to work exactly. Who's in charge? You, Mr. Zanin, some unknown third person who has yet to be recruited? I just don't know how the structure works.
Chair Berger, Senator Johnson, I would not be the director of a standalone agency if there was one created. I would maintain my director's position in the Department of Administrative Services. I would not be the in direct management or administration of the agency. In this instance, I'm providing administrative oversight to ensure that this program moved forward because the governor identified it as a high priority.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Follow up.
Okay, I understand that, and I appreciate it, and I agree with the confidence the governor holds your service in. But I'm still trying to figure out, down the line, where do you see the transition occurring? Because I know that there has been discussion about this becoming a separate agency, and I'm just trying to figure out where and when and how that handoff takes place, and where you peel off and go back to DAS, and who takes over, and what will be the mechanism for selecting a new director of a new agency if that comes to pass.
Chair Berger, Senator Johnson, as Senate Bill 136 is written, it has a referral to Ways and Means. If it passes from this committee, it will go to Ways and Means, where it will be reviewed. I suspect that a standalone agency would be looked upon at a future date, not specifically maybe this session. I would continue to provide administrative oversight for the governor as it remains in state police to be discussed at a future date in time as we conduct more planning and development associated with the project.
Madam Chair, then at the risk of beating this to death, if you're the head person, what's Mr. Zanin's job?
Chair Berger, Senator Johnson, Mr. Mike Zanin is the program administrator of the Owen Project under the state police supervision.
Thank you.
All right, continue with your testimony.
Chair Berger, members of the committee, we have been before you a couple of different times on Owen. The Oregon Wireless Interoperability Network would consolidate four state radio systems into one. The four state radio systems are outdated from what current technology would provide the state of Oregon. In 2005, the Legislative Assembly passed House Bill 2101, the state, and instructed the state to consolidate its communications systems and enable interoperability with local, state, tribal, and federal government agencies. In addition to that, for everyone's recollection and as a reminder, the federal government through the FCC has mandated that public safety agencies migrate to a narrowband technology by 2013. In response to these needs, a considerable amount of work and planning has been done. I'm not satisfied with the planning that's been done to date, and I've asked for more planning to be conducted on this project. I think Representative Schaffler has said it well many times in discussions with him and during committee. If you fail to plan, you will plan to fail.
That's right.
And I want to have more questions answered as we move forward between now and February of 2008, so that when I come before you at that time, I will have more confidence in the planning that's been done, and I can give you more confidence in pledging money to the project. In response, we have developed a prudent Owen budget that allows us to refine our planning and outreach and provide the 2008 legislature with the information necessary to make an informed decision about the Owen project. Status quo is not an option. If we invest money in our old systems that we have today, that will be money that is, in my estimation, wasted. because that is old technology. For today, we are here specifically to provide the committee with an overview of Senate Bill 136. I am joined with Mr. Mike Zanin, Bill and Program Director. Mike will provide you an overview of Senate Bill 136 and will be available to answer your questions. With that, Chair Berger, I would turn it over to Mike Zanin unless there are questions to answer.
I think we'll wait until questions following his presentation.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Mike Zanin. I'm the Owen Program Director with the Oregon State Police. Our request to this committee today is that you would pass Senate Bill 136, the dash two amendments, and refer it to Ways and Means for consideration. As a reminder, Senate Bill 136 establishes a separate agency to oversee a statewide public safety communication system that was directed by the legislature in 2005. Specifically, this governance model that is being proposed in this bill is being proposed for four main reasons. Number one, it sets up the state interoperability agency similar to a utility with the appropriate accountabilities and oversight and input from the users that would actually be using the services of that system. It provides a single focus at providing high-level public safety communication services. It prevents the competition for funds that we experience today when the communication functions are embedded within state agencies with other missions. When the dollars get tight, everybody's competing for that same pot of dollars. This would give the agency a single focus. And also the state and local agencies that would be users and potential users of the system have spoken very strongly about wanting to make sure they have a say in how the system is run and operated. Specifically, Senate Bill 136-2 establishes the Owen agency at a point in time when the legislature authorizes the funding for the Owen agency and the Owen project. So if, just put it in plain language, if that never happens, the agency never sunrises. So that's the trigger point in there. I think it's important just to mention that the state must have must consider this policy issue as we move forward. If we're going to have a consolidated state public safety agency or state communication system, you need to have an agency established that has that single focus, that has that single purpose, and that has the user groups and the appropriate oversight from the people that would be benefiting from that service. And with that, on Senate Bill 136, I just once again say our recommendation to the committee and our hope is that you would pass the dash two amendments out to Ways and Means. With that, I take your questions.
Mr. Zanin, I wonder if you're going to walk us through the dash two amendments. I think that would be appropriate. And also, I would refer you to page 4, section 4, subsection 1. The Oregon Wireless Interoperability Network Department is under the supervision and control of a director who is responsible to the Executive Committee of the State Interoperability Executive Council for the performance of duties, functions, and powers of the department. I think that refers back to Senator Johnson's concern. And so if you'll just start at the beginning and just kind of walk us through the dash twos.
Madam Chair, I'm assuming that the committee does have copies of the dash two amendments
yes.
in front of you. The dash two amendments specifically in the first section define what the Oregon wireless interoperability.
Mr. Zanin, could I interrupt you just a minute to welcome the Angel Job Corps group who have joined us in our process in the committee, and just so that you have a little bit of awareness of what we're doing. We're having a hearing about a communication system that would be used statewide and would be very valuable always, every day, but particularly in cases of an emergency, and that is called OWIN, and that's the acronym, so when you hear it referred to that, it's the Wireless Interoperability Network, and so now continue, Mr. Zanin. Thank you very
much.
Thank
you, Madam Chair. Section 1 simply outlines the duties and the responsibilities of the new agency, the Oregon Wireless Interoperability Network. Section 2 Right now, the State Interoperability Executive Council is underneath the Office of Emergency Management. This and the membership therein is under that. This basically is a housekeeping section that takes care of the appropriate transfers for those purposes in creating the new agency that the people that serve on the State Interoperability Executive Council would serve on behalf of not the Office of Emergency Management, but the Oregon Wireless Interoperability Network Agency. Section 3 creates an executive committee. The best way to view this, it's like a commission that oversees the performance of the director and the performance of the agency. The executive committee is made up of three members from state agencies and four members from non-state agencies. Those members would be from the folks that currently serve on the State Interoperability Executive Council. Section 4 establishes the responsibilities of the director, addresses Senator Johnson's question about who appoints the director. The governor appoints the director based on three recommendations from the State Interoperability Executive Council. And the director serves at will on behalf of the governor. Section 5 gives the new state agency the authority to appoint a deputy director. Section 6 creates a network user services board, which fundamentally the users of the system, again, it's almost like a citizen utility board for utilities, have some say in how that system is run, a way to bring their concerns to the table about the service, about the rate models, so on. Section 7, again, is housekeeping related to establishing a new agency and how records and property and employees are handled within the context of a new agency. Unexpended revenues, my understanding of this is that this allows the carryover of funds from one biennium to the next, since this is going to be a fee-for-service type organization. Section 9 and 10 and 11 simply administrative sections within this bill that are necessary when you create a new state agency. Section 12, network user access. Basically, this sets forth the policy where everybody who uses the system has to sign a network user agreement to where they use the system consistent with the standards and the policies and the procedures that are put forth by the State Interoperability Executive Council. The network account, again, creates a fund necessary to be able to carry over dollars and be able to reinvest those dollars in the maintenance and operations of that system. The agency name change, again, this deals with moving it from underneath the Office of Emergency Management and creates a separate state agency. Sections 14 and sections 14 deal with the establishment of the agency and the funding associated with that. Section 15 makes some minor modifications to the existing statute that outlines who is going to serve on the State Interoperability Executive Council. And section...
Mr. Zanin, that's separate from the executive board.
The executive committee is proposed to be made up of members of the State Interoperability Executive Council, three from the state, four non-state representatives on that board, on the executive committee.
But the executive council...
Excuse me, the executive council serves like a commission, if I could use that term. And again, what Section 15 does is it just makes the necessary changes in the current statute about the State Interoperability Executive Council and moves from the Office of Emergency Management to the Owen Agency. And then, again, more in sections 17, 18, and 19, and 20 and beyond are just, I guess the best way to describe those are administrative in nature that have to be established when you create a new state agency. With that, I'd take any questions that you might have.
All right. Senator Johnson.
Thank you. Maybe you could direct us to the language that shows that this department does not come into being absent money.
Madam Chair, Senator Johnson, I will try to do that because, you know, when you go to Ledge Council, you say, well, this is how we want it to go. And then when they put it in whatever language has to appear in the bill, I will do my best. Thanks to help from the back of the room, I have that right here in front of me.
Your advisor.
direct your attention to Section 20, last page 16. Basically, it says that this becomes operative on the date the Legislative Assembly appropriates money and makes expenditure limitation pursuant to Sections 14A and 14B, which funds the agency and funds the project.
Madam Chair, follow-up?
Follow-up.
Would that include planning money?
No, and I think that's precisely why it was phrased, because we had that discussion in Ledge Council, and to be honest with you, I'm parroting what I heard from Harrison Conley, because we had this discussion down there, and he assures me that the language that's in here accounts for that and does not include the planning money that we're talking about, because the planning money is not currently associated with Senate Bill 136. The planning money that is currently under discussion is associated with the Oregon State Police budget.
One last question, Madam Chair.
Yes, follow up.
Then why are we doing this now?
Madam Chair, Senator Johnson, I think it's important for not only this committee but this body to understand the need that if we're going to move forward with this, that we have to have an entity whose single focus is to make sure that if we're going to have a single statewide public safety communication system, that you've got an organization that is focused solely on that and not competing within itself for dollars. Otherwise, we're going to get down the road and end up in the same state that we are today with the extensive deferred maintenance that we have.
One last question, Madam Chair.
Follow up.
Then, absent agency status, you intend to begin meeting as though this were an agency?
Madam Chair, Senator Johnson, the State Interoperability Executive Council has been meeting since 2002. We'll continue to meet. We'll continue to plan. The Owen program has been embedded within the Oregon State Police budget during this last biennium since House Bill 2101 was passed in 2005. We'll continue to do the activities within the construct of the governance structure that we have today until such time as an agency is approved.
Other questions? Senator George.
Thank you. This may be a question for staff. So is Senate Bill 136, are we trying to refer this to Ways and Means? And if we are, then what would be the Ways and Means necessity if we're just putting in the statutory authority? As I'm trying to understand why are we sending this to Ways and Means is my first question, which is what I thought we were doing. And then if we are, what do we need?
As you're calling the co-chair's budget, they had allocated $4.8 million, I believe, for the Olin project. And part of that would be to take care of the ongoing work that Olin is currently doing. So this type of bill would be the implementing legislation, and it would have to go to Ways and Means for review.
If I could, Madam Chair, that was my understanding. But then, based on the questions that Senator Johnson just raised, that means the money then would be attached in Sections 14A and 14B, at least the money that's in the co-chair's budget, which means that the agency would go into effect immediately after sine die, or 30 days after sine die. You see what I'm saying? It's a process question.
Chair Verger, if I may, maybe I can bring a little clarity to some of
that
the
that would be helpful.
What took place in discussion with the co-chairs, Representative Nolan and Senator Schrader, was that we were very much attuned to the fact that this committee before us, before Mike and I, today, was very concerned about Owen invalidly so. What we looked at was in reviewing the necessity for planning and development of this project, there was a need for $6.8 million. $3 million of it would be general fund. $3.8 million of it would be certificates of participation. Recognizing there was $4.8 million of general fund in the co-chair's budget, which was short the $6.8 that was needed, there was discussion a couple of days ago with the two co-chairs just to move this into the State Police Ways and Means budget process. I raised the issue with the co-chairs that this committee was engaged in the discussions, and it was felt then by the co-chairs that we bring this forward before you to allow this committee and the two co-chairs the opportunity for the discussion, as we've had in the past, to move this to Ways and Means for further deliberations on the budget side. We are not promoting a standalone agency at this time. That can come at a later time. This does create the vehicle to move it to Ways and Means to visit that, but the Ways and Means part will be in the state police budget, not creating a standalone agency. We also are not looking at supersiding that you find in Senate Bill 137. And so we simply wanted to make sure that we gave this committee the opportunity to have a policy discussion on moving planning and development forward with the Owen project. When it comes to Ways and Means, you will see that the Owen section, the Owen portion of 136 will fall out, and the budget part will move forward of $6.8 million, $3 of general fund and $3.8 of COP money.
Madam Chair, if I could.
Yes.
And I don't quite get why we're doing that. Why don't we just, that's the policy decision that we're going to make. Why don't we make that fall out here, send it to the floor as a policy decision without any money attached to it, let the money go into the state police budget, and this is just a policy decision that we send directly to the floor with absolutely no fiscal impact. Why are we taking this extra step to send it to Ways and Means for them to take out the money and then send it as a policy bill onto the floor?
Chair Verger, Senator George, as I said earlier, it's strictly a courtesy to make sure this committee is aware, and since this committee has been very much engaged in the process, to allow that discussion to take place here.
All right.
I guess I'm adequately confused.
Questions? Representative Callan.
Callan. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. When I looked around, I just saw one of you. So.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I am also confused about the discussion I've just heard in terms of what exactly moving this bill will mean that we've done it. So let me just step back for a minute. I was trying desperately to follow along as we kind of have summarized the dash twos in comparison to the original bill, and I think that was probably a futile effort. There seems to be the dash twos are the entire bill rewritten, but I can't quite pick out where the changes are along the way. So I'm going to just focus on one, and that is that in the conversation that we had in the last hearing, when we were talking about the Executive Committee for the State Interoperability Executive Council, I'm going to throw in one more comment. I think you've got too many executives in here. Maybe if you changed one of those words, it wouldn't be so hard to figure out which one we were talking about. But we had some conversation about the need to be certain that there was local government representation on the Executive Committee, and I don't see any real changes in the structural layout of the Executive Committee in the dash two that would accommodate that. I wondered if you could address that and any other changes that I should be more focused on from the two.
Madam Chair, Representative Callan, when it says three state agency representatives and four non-state agency representatives, you have to understand that the non-state agency representatives that currently serve on the State Interoperability Executive Council represent by and large, local governments. There are representatives from the Fire Chiefs Association, Police Chiefs Association, Sheriff's Association, League of Oregon Cities, Association of Oregon Counties, Special Districts, those other non-state representatives, by virtue of fact of the associations that they represent, are local government.
Follow up.
So that's the current representation on the committee, and that's the meaning of this language, was to continue with that sort of representation then?
Madam Chair, Representative Cowan, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Nelson?
Yes, thank you, Director Ball and Mr. Zinn. I'm greatly concerned, and the angels here will probably see why this is so important when I tell them that this is a billion-dollar business we're setting up today. Isn't it, you need $665 million for 6 years, right? That's here in my notes we talked about. Private and public partnerships, you know, getting some input from Microsoft and some of those individuals and major telecom companies. We talked about last time $237 million of COPs. So, and I'm just concerned. To me, I don't want us to just be a rote, you know, just a rote approval. And you know, I've never seen anything like what's happening here in all my years of being here. To be establishing something that is so huge and so serious, you know, for our need. I don't know how on earth without a, you know, plan and a budget that we could approve this to move on. Even in this amendment, the dash two, you know, that says the director shall be paid a salary. So, I mean... Senator Johnson's right. I mean, we don't look at a piece of paper that doesn't require a dollar to it. And then further, it talks about the employees, you know, and I'm assuming they got to be paid. We don't even know what they're going to do. So my question to you is, do you really feel that, you know, I don't think you'd approve, Director Ball, I don't think you'd approve somebody came to you and you would so rotely approve a huge program without more specifics, would you?
Chair Berger, Representative Nelson, I didn't approve it. I think that's the issue. I asked for $3 million of general fund and $3.8 million of COP money so we could adequately plan and develop a plan for the Owen project before we start spending the hundreds of millions of dollars that you referenced. And that's what we'll ask Ways and Means, and that's what I'm asking this committee as a policy decision, that we appropriate the money for the planning. As Representative Schaffler has so aptly pointed out, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Then we will return upon at that time and ask for consideration of the appropriate funding to implement the project of Owen. I'm not asking for hundreds of millions of dollars today.
Director Ball, the other thing that I think we might say that hasn't been said, and that is that after you have done further planning between now and February, when you come back with a report, if the legislature says no, then it's no. In other words,
Chair
you will not
correct.
Be. You can only move forward with the legislature's permission in February.
Chair Berger, that is correct.
All right. Okay. Other question, Representative Schaffler.
Thank you. You guys, I support the Owen concept. I don't think there's a whole lot of opposition to that. But if correct me if I'm wrong if I read this right. We send this in Ways and Means, and on Section 14, and 14B, they fill in those amounts with just planning money. That automatically triggers the creation of executive council and executive committee, and then the executive committee, according to this, if I'm reading this correctly, can go right on out and authorize control and access of the whatever it is we end up billing. But I correct me if I'm wrong, they can immediately start establishing fees for access from the various categories of user subscribers. Am I reading that accurately? Even if it is just the 3 or 4 million or 6 million or whatever number we're going to put in here, am I reading that accurately? Are we essentially establishing the agency with this when that $3 or $4 million, and if that's what we're doing, fine. If that's what we're going to do, I have no problem with that, but I just want to clarify that, please.
Chair Verger, Representative Schaffler, what the request will be is to fund money in the state police budget, not the Department of Owen budget. And without a sunrise date for Owen, there is no agency.
Now, Madam Chair, if I can follow up.
Yes, follow up.
This bill, though, Lindsay, if we put a dollar amount in here, it triggers the establishment of these committees. Is that correct? According to this language right here. Please, help me through this.
Well, if the Ways and Means wishes to fund the Department of Oregon Wireless Interoperability, if it funds money to the state police budget for continued planning, it wouldn't be funding the Owen agency.
Okay.
And this is scheduled to go into the state police budget process, not the Owen process.
Madam Chair, if I can just make sure I'm squared away. So today, with this, we're not talking about the planning money at all. We're just putting this out there, and we're going to fund the planning money through the state police, and this should just be hanging there when you all come back with a real plan and all that stuff, and then we would fill in these blanks. Is that accurate?
Chair Verger, Representative Schaffer, you're correct.
Thank you very much.
I want everybody on the committee to be very, very comfortable. So I'm going to recognize Senator Johnson, but for those of you who have any questions at all, I want us to be comfortable. You have to leave for the floor at 4 o'clock. That is cutting our time down, I know, and I hate that. But I do not want to rush, and Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You said something that caught my attention in your last exchange with Director Boyle. You said we won't move forward without legislative permission, and yet it seems to me conspicuously absent with respect to the appointment of the director. I don't see any legislative approval of the director. It appears that the Executive Committee of the State Interoperability Executive Council actually, the director answers to them. It is a gubernatorial appointment, but I would certainly, even though this appears at this juncture to just be a shell to send a signal that Owen is still alive and that we're going to put the money in someplace else and continue to plan, I would certainly be happier if this had some Senate approval, and that way at least the legislature, beyond the direct appointments, has some control over what I think is going to shape up to be a giant agency somewhere down the line. I would make that comment. The other comment I would make is this is a large amount of artifice to go through to appropriate $6.8 million in planning money. And I think that's what's been so confusing here, that this is all form and no substance. We're looking for planning money that will be inserted in another budget. But I certainly feel squeamish about having this document out creating ostensibly a new state agency. And I just would comment that while I'll probably support the bill if we get to a vote today, this is certainly a messy, awkward way to get here.
All right. Response?
Chair Verger, Senator Johnson. There have been some obstacles. I must agree with you on that.
Always the diplomat, Mr. Wall.
there's no two ways to look at it either way. But I also know what the conviction is here, and that is to enjoin the state police with sufficient planning money so we can appropriately come back before this body, February of 2008, to show you a plan that will give you some confidence that the money you invest in the project and the program will be appropriately spent.
Madam Chair,
and right now, without that planning effort, I'm not comfortable.
All right.
Thank you for that comment. In the interest of full disclosure, I think when you come back, just so that we can all get sort of back on the same track together, I would certainly appreciate a complete rundown of how much planning money, state and federal, has been spent to this point. Because it seems to me as though we're approaching this as though this is a blank sheet of paper on which we are going to write $6.8 million worth of planning. and I believe that a lot of money has been expended already, and I'd like to know what we bought so far.
Committee members, I also would like to take this opportunity to ask you to be thinking about other things that you would want addressed when they come back in February, because I think that's extremely important. I think Senator Johnson brought up an important point. Representative Nelson and then Senator George.
This is a follow-up to where I started a while ago, Madam Chair, but on page 7 of this amendment, it talks about the unexpended balances of amounts authorized to be expended by the Office of Emergency Management. What is that? How much is that?
Chair Berger, Representative Nelson, there's no money there currently because there's been no agency created and there's no budget. And what that amounts to is, since this is another funded agency, those monies are pretty typically rolled forward to the next biennium as a ending balance carried forward as a beginning balance. Therefore, they still can't spend the money in the upcoming biennium without legislative approval for limitation. But that is a very typical section of an agency that is under other funded.
Follow up, please.
Follow up.
You know, we all believe this is very important, you know, for the safety of our people, and it has to be our top priority. Senator Johnson said a blank something, and I was going to say, well, I was thinking it looks like we're approving a blank check, you know, come in, you know, go down to Ways and Means, you know, make a deal with, you know, Mary and Kurt, and, you know, and then we'll be fine with it. And I am not fine with it. I think we need to be specific. I'd hate to have to explain this to my constituents today.
Any other comments? Representative Cowan.
Thank you. I believe I understand what I've heard said here, and that this is not even a request to appropriate money in this particular format in this bill, but rather to give somehow our blessing to move forward with the Owen planning project that will come out of a different budget. I don't have any problem with giving the blessing to moving that planning forward, because I think that that's something that we do need to do. I'm just trying to figure out, absent this bill right now, what would happen. I mean, if the planning is going to take place through the OSP budget, what would be the downside of not moving this bill until that planning process took place? That's what I'm trying to figure out, I think.
I'm going to have him respond, and then I'll call on Senator George and then Representative Nelson. A response from one of them?
Madam Chair, Representative Talon, we feel like it's important for this committee, policy committee, to wrestle with and come to the recognition that if we are going to do a statewide public safety communication system and consolidate, as we've been directed to do in House Bill 2101, 2005, that there's a recognition that there needs to be an agency set up to oversee that core function of public safety in Oregon. And what I think we're asking you to do today is, and I don't think I disagree with how we got to the point of where we're at, but there is a fundamental public policy decision to be made, and whether it happens now or in the future, the fact that we're at least elevating this at the policy discussion to say, if we're going to do this, and I know we don't have the yes yet, but if we're going to do this, and we know we need more planning, at some point in time in the future, when the legislature gets comfortable and says go and appropriates funding to begin construction, that there is an entity that is established whose sole purpose and focus and mission is to oversee that operation. And I think what we're trying to do is to have a policy committee agree with that to say, when we get to that point, we think that's important too.
We're running out of time, so I'm going to call quickly now. Senator George?
Madam Chair, I'll vote for the bill out of committee if you want today, and I have a problem. I'd prefer to have the amendments that Senator Johnson discussed on the legislative oversight. I'd prefer those amendments. I don't know what we have for as far as time. I'd like to get testimony whether you see any problem with additional legislative oversight, and that's my only comment. I'll give to whatever the chair that wants with this bill, but right. I prefer that.
Thank you very much, Representative Nelson.
Yes, thank you. Madam Chair, I kind of wanted to ask the same question. Why don't we just, put something together I think we talked about this before, but, declaring, a need for $6 million and what's going to be done with it. So we specifically, and how's it going to be administered? So we specifically know what we're doing here as far as funding.
Chair Berger, Representative Nelson, the $6.8 million would be in the state police budget, and it would involve continued planning across the state of Oregon for the phase-in of Owen, locations of sites and construction sites, potential partnerships with local governments, and as well as tribal governments and federal government. There will be other opportunities to look at private enterprise that may become a partner in that as well. And that would also probably give us a more realistic price associated with the cost of constructing the Owen system.
All right. There's a note coming my way. So
I ask a question while we're awaiting the note?
Yes. All right.
Has Superintendent McLean been in these discussions? Because it seems to me that I would be a little squeamish if I were a brand new superintendent to accept a 6.8 planning appropriation, but I'm not responsible for the deliverables. It's in my budget. But if I understand it, Mr. Ball has direct oversight. You're running it day to day. It's in Superintendent McLean's budget. I just don't know why we have to be so messy about this. And in Ways and Means, we talk about transparency and truth in budgeting and truing up the budgets. And this one seems like Franken-budget. It's all sort of cobbled together in some weird way. I'm just having a really hard time with this.
I can see that.
I appreciate that. One of the things that I've done, and I've spent an awful lot of time on this and talking to different people that are responsible for different systems. And I started off in this process and actually believing that we didn't need to do this kind of expenditure and planning and so forth, because I was just sure that we had communication systems out there that were compatible and that it would work. And I have come to the conclusion that what the task force work that they did during the interim was exactly right, and we do not have that. So in case of an emergency, we simply don't have a way of communicating, whether that emergency is even with our fire, but certainly not with a major disaster. And so I'm going to committee, while we're going to all accept that this is really messy, I'm going to have a comfort level with what you're going to do. I would hope that we have further discussions about some things that you need to bring back to the right people in February. Otherwise, I would not hesitate to say that you will get a red light in February if we can't do a better job. And so with that, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 136, and I'll call on Co-Chair Boone.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 136 to be amended with the -2 amendment.
Chair Boone moves the -2 amendments. Are there any objections? Is there any discussion? Representative Boone.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Verger. Maybe this will help. I will liken this to creating a painting. Right, today we're stretching the canvas. And this is the old-fashioned way of painting. Don't go to the store and buy the pre-strips. We're stretching the canvas. We're putting out down the gesso. And then it goes to Ways and Means, where the first preliminary drawings will be made directly onto the canvas. But like any painting, a lot of stuff gets done, redone, whatever. The paint would come in February, if and when we decide to go forward with it. I mean, it takes a long time to get this done, if that helps.
Madam Chair, please, briefly.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't have any problem creating this entity out here, you guys. We're going down the right road. But I agree with the legislative oversight on these appointments and approval, and I definitely don't want this executive committee establishing fees. I prefer this body establish fees. Now, you may not like that, but I just don't feel comfortable with that. I want to have some legislative oversight over that, but that's some of the things I would. But I'm willing to vote for this today.
Seeing no objections, I would ask Representative Boone. Okay, Boone, would you please move 136 to Ways and Means?
Madam Chair, I will move Senate Bill 136 to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Chair Boone moves Senate Bill 136 to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass as amended.
As
recommendation. Any further discussion? If not, yes.
We've made these young people bewildered.
Just bewildered.
I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Put your name on that.
I'm considering this a courtesy aye at this juncture in this odyssey.
Representative Krieger?
Same, a courtesy aye, yes.
Senator Morissette?
Aye.
Representative Chopler?
Aye.
Representative Cowan?
Aye.
Senator Gary George?
No.
I don't have any courtesy.
I'm
sorry, Madam Chair.
I'm
happy to know.
Right. You feel? I want you to feel absolutely comfortable. Continue with the call.
Co-Chair Boone?
Aye.
Co-Chair Burgess?
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger?
Aye. Having received the number of votes that's necessary, the motion carries, and I will close the work session on Senate Bill 136, and due to the time limit, I'm going to call the meeting adjourned.